Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. We had some technical difficulties. I'm going to open up your mic, Imam Delacy.
Yes.
And we'll begin.
All right. So with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, welcome, dear listeners, to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Your intellect is respected. Your voice is protected. We welcome you to this month of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. A blessed Ramadan to you all, our listeners out there. We pray that those of you who are fasting, that you're enjoying the benefits of fasting. And for those of you who may not be fasting, we invite you to also consider taking that journey of fasting and experiment with one of the principles, five principles of Al-Islam. I like to call them the Mighty Five: the belief in one creator, Tawheed, and there's only one creator, and that Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet. That concept, prayer, is one of the other obligatory acts that we are commanded to do, pray five times a day. We have five periods of time that are regulated by the sun and the ending of the day, the night, as these times of prayer are due as an obligation. And we have zakat, where we are invited to, we're really commanded to pay 2.5% of what remains of us after all expenses as an obligatory charity. That's due to the poor and needy. It's there for certain categories of recipients who qualify for that. And then we have Siyam, fasting. The month of Ramadan is a prescribed period of time that we fast, and we are in that month, in that blessed month now. It's the ninth month of the lunar calendar, and we fast from dawn until sunset. And during this fast, we sacrifice eating, drinking, intimacy with our wives as such, and we also practice disciplining ourselves to discipline our speech, our relationships with each other, and being careful of only focus on positive things that will improve and better our life. And we're gonna talk about that today, that concept today, in terms of the pattern that our Creator has created us in. It's called the fitra. It's the natural pattern as to what is our relationship to this creation and how we live in it and how we are part of it and how we can prepare ourselves to best be successful in this creation. And this is this month of fasting, we are invited to do practice certain disciplines that will enhance our opportunity to get back, I like to say, to get control of our own selves, our own life, to take responsibility for our own life. And also that's the fast. And then the fifth pillar, of course, is the Hajj, that time where we visit that original place, which is an orientation, a direction we turn to in our worship, in our daily prayers, we turn towards this particular idea. And, you know, and I'm using that language very intentional, that concept. We are turning towards a concept with it, but this concept is represented in the city of Mecca in terms of a little square house, a square house called the Qibla, or the Masjid al-Haram. It's, the house is inside this particular area, and it's a sacred area, you know, where you're forbidden to kill animals there while you're in that area and attending the Hajj. You have to observe certain rules. So this direction we turn to, we call it the Qibla, is the fifth principle in Islam, that you are obligated to travel once in a lifetime if you can afford it, if you're able to do it. And that depends on your health, your wealth, and other things that may prevent you from going. But it is a goal that every Muslim should set for their life. Everyone who believes in our religion, that's our obligation on us. So we're going to talk about the fitra, the original pattern. And I'll start off. I'm going to recite from a chapter in the Quran, 18, surah in the Quran, that talks about this pattern a little bit. And by the way, chapter 5 in the Quran, called Al-Fatir, is another place where our Creator addresses this, that he is the originator of the heavens and the earth. And it's chapter 35, Al-Fatir. But I'm going to recite from Surah 10, where the pattern of the mold for the human being is talked about, that there's a pattern, a specific design that Allah has created us in, and its objective is to bring us to excellence. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa tini wa zaytun wa turi sinin. وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فَمَا يُكَذِّبُ كَبَادُ بِالدِّينِ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. And it translates what Tini was eating by the fig and the olive. And this language is actually Allah swearing by these things in creation, by the food we eat, watini was zaytun, that's the fig and the olive, what turisini, and the Mount Sinai, the material earth, but a big picture of mountain, and then he swears about the city made safe, wahabil baladil, I mean that. And the city made safe, valid, and it's more to do with territory, land made safe. And lokokolokonel insan fi aksani takween. We have indeed created man in the most excellent mold. And it's used the language like the human being has been formed like you would do a template that he has that potential to be created for excellence. He's created for excellence. And most times when you do a mold, if you want to recreate it, another copy, you just use this same pattern, and you could just keep creating this project or whatever you're working on. But here Allah talks about that in the light of that he has created the human being like that and created for excellence there. And usually when you do this mold, you want every copy to come out the same in terms of its potential for the human being. And we are certainly different in our goals, our aspirations, our thinking, et cetera, et cetera. But we still are created for excellence. But then Allah says, but this human being can be debased to the lowest of the low, except those who believe and work righteous deeds. I thought about just stopping at the excellent creation. Thought that we better take this to its ending, because there's a concept. If we don't work to improve ourselves, then that neglect that we take on bad practices, bad habits, will work to bring us down, to bring us back down. And then Allah asks a question. So what will cause you to lie about it after this? What will cause you to lie? Like kadibu bid-deen. What will cause you to lie about this deen? This religion is called the deen. And isn't Allah the most excellent of judges? Isn't Allah the most excellent of judges? So this language is very, very powerful and very definite in terms of what Allah is saying, that he has created us for excellence, but our neglect to pursue it can bring us down to be the lowest of the low. And he also tells us that illah gives an option. Illa ladina amanu wa amalu salihat, except those who believe and work righteous deeds, work righteousness. So I wanted to set the table a little bit with that concept of the pursuit for excellence, and then being created for that purpose. We are created for that purpose. The imams, I heard imams and scholars and many people talk about the potential that we are God's special creation. You know, we have this ability to examine concepts like what we are talking about now. No other animal, no other creation can go into depth with this speech and this language and this brain and the thinking that Allah has facilitated for our use to be able to rise above, to take on the role of Khalifa, vicegerent, the one who takes charge of the creation and can modify it and can bring it to greater success, et cetera, can protect it and supervise it. Allah has given us that responsibility. So we're going to talk about this today. And we're gonna examine how the month of Ramadan gives us that practice and discipline to get to these noble ideas and concepts that are in our religious language and life. So, Professor Rabbani, we have Professor Rabbani, Ramadan Mubarak to you. Michael Hameen is with us. Ramadan Mubarak to both of you. And Alhamdulillah.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Shukran. So we're going to start our program. I wanted to just set the table a little bit there. And inshallah, Professor, we'll start with you. Share with us some thoughts you may have on this topic. Yeah, you know, I'm going to call this program "Returning to the Fitra."
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak.
In God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is no God but one, Allah, God, and he has no partners or associates. And we thank Allah for sending down the Quran and sending that Quran a guidance for sure during this month and sending it upon the heart and the sensitivity of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, who qualified to be the last prophet for mankind, the messenger of God, and to show through his works and his trustworthiness and truthfulness. Qualified to preach this word to all of mankind. He was a mercy for man, a mercy for all the worlds. Linnas, man, and the worlds of knowledge and the worlds of mankind throughout the world. And we thank Allah for our leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Professor Farad, and also Sister Clara Muhammad. We thank Allah for their great contributions, and we ask Allah to give them the highest level of paradise.
I mean.
Well, after you read that Quranic passage, brother, you set the table. So that passage right there is I don't know what to say after hearing that, other than the fact that we have our own personal experiences, and we say fitra, you know, the way of life that Allah has prescribed for the original human being for his life in the heavens. He created the soul in the heavens, and then gave that soul and put it in a vessel, a human vessel, our mothers. Now, this soul, everyone has its qualities and its properties. We say that in science. Properties are the characteristics of its nature. Everyone has it, but it has to be balanced. That's a spirit, has to be balanced with a material. And when that soul is put into that body, now he is given, like you say, the five senses. And the five senses will engage his mind and heart into seeking his Lord, because he's given the original nature to want to know who created it and who is the being that's responsible in his nature. So he has to balance that in a material world. That material world is now under the influence of the enemy of mankind. So he has to know what he's up against. So Ramadan comes and gives us the opportunity to engage and exercise in a practice that will elevate him and uplift his soul, because he will be judged by his deeds. He will be connected to reach the destiny by his deeds. And during this month of that Allah has the ninth month as set for mankind to cultivate his soul in the best manner. And and cultivating that his soul in the best manner, he now is given a prescription to practice certain things that will put him in the best position to be accepted by his Creator on the Day of Judgment. And Ramadan gives us this opportunity by fasting. It is one of the five principles, the five pillars, or the five dispositions that we as human beings are given to achieve that excellence, to develop. The fasting is a robust individual undertaking that the person is obligates himself to please his Lord by fasting. And by fasting, Allah, it tells us that he will wipe away, if the fasting person is successful and he's conscious, or she's conscious of fulfilling the obligation that Allah has outlined in fasting from the dawn to the sunset, and abstaining from behaviors that will bring down his dignity, and by feeding and helping the poor, the orphan, his own family, himself first, his own family, the orphans, his neighbors, Allah will generate a wealth of blessings. And that's why we refer to as Ramadan Mubarak. Mubarak means the blessings. The blessings will come if we are dedicated to following the method of fasting and our behaviors to balance our soul and our body together, a material and spiritual balance that will lead us to the destiny that Almighty God has intended for His servants. We say and up means slave, and what people say slave, but it's servants. You will be looked upon as a servant, and you as a servant, not only to Allah but to mankind, a servant to yourself and servant to mankind, and that would identify you very, very quickly, and qualify you. So that's there's a little bit more I want to say, but I'd rather Michael pick up.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Professor, and certainly very well highlighted, very, very well highlighted. So, Michael, please chime in and share some thoughts on this topic, if you would.
If I may, you know, we have a caller that's anxious to speak to us. If I could let them come in, if that's all right, and then make a few comments after.
Yes, let's go ahead and do that. Call us. State your name and where you're calling from.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And we thank Allah much for this opportunity again to remind us how to make it in the land of plenty. And we know that we, during this month of Ramadan, where every Muslim, the human beings who have said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and those who support and are listening to this declaration that we have made in word but also in our life, how we are doing this month as a unified discipline, all are listening to the Creator of all the world. And we are making sure that nothing in our everyday human development, like water, food, etc., does not interfere with our focus. And many of them are also joining with us because they have been watching the growth and benefit that Almighty God Allah has been given to the people who are called Muslims. So take advantage of this time of how does the Muslim make it in this earth, this world of plenty that we have been responsible for from the very beginning for those who know best. When we have opportunity to have Shura now, because we know every 2 billion Muslims and many, 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 many people of other different ways of life are watching how we grow into a greater purity than, purity than what they've seen of us last year. And they have been watching this growth, some of them, even the scientists among them have been watching what Ramadan has been doing to us ever since 1975. They've been watching our growth, what makes us go here, what makes us go there, what makes us miss certain opportunities to prepare ourselves to make it on this earth the world of plenty. And so we must come together and ensure why we have this opportunity to make prayer together as we are instructed to do anyway. Every day before the start of this blessed month of fasting, we should ask Allah for everything that we need to make it on this earth of plenty. And the number one dua we should have together to show the world that we are praying that whatever their faith is or whatever their way of life is, we know the negativity of it. We call it shaitan. Is being asked by Allah to end his favor to him by giving him an opportunity to test us and prove that he thinks he's better than us. And they watch how we overcome all of his schemes and his psychological means of how to go about doing that. And then we have to sit down in the shura, inshallah, during this month to ask and bring all of our blessings together, our scientists, our mathematicians, our counselors, our farmers, our mechanics, inshallah, to come together and how can we come to common terms to live this life on a high level this time around so that our children can grasp the reality they do and can put their trust in what they believe called Al-Islam.
Thank you,
and we're not alone. Much of the world is listening, have been watching us ever since Allah blessed us, and they know that in our unity, God will bless America. That is the only way that they're going to get it. And we need to accept that responsibility.
Thank you, my brother.
Ramadan Mubarak. Appreciate that.
Ramadan Mubarak to you as well. Yes. Go ahead, yeah. Michael. Please share some thoughts with you on care to make any comments on what.
Yes, sir. I'm going to try to be very concise. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The focus on the fitra, and that is the design, the nature, the form and function that Almighty God has given us as human beings, and how in that design God has made us impressionable. We're creatures of influence. We can be affected. We have the nature that God has given us, but we also have what the scientists call the nurture, the environment that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, says that, you know, we're born in the fitra nature, but it is the environment, our parents, our caretakers, whoever is responsible in creating the environment that we develop in before, you know, our brains are really turned on to, you know, awareness and the process of thinking. You know, we're innocent and we, you know, and we have to remember this development or how we're structured as we mature in age, that, you know, the environment that we're in, it affects how we develop. you know. And so with that, we have to be careful. And God gives us a heads up in the Quran. He said that, you know, your creation that is such that you are very hasty. Okay, I need to be careful because, you know, I can do things without giving necessary circumspection or reflection on the subject, and I can get myself in trouble by being hasty. And lastly, you know, God says that we are forgetful. And all of us have experienced that. And as you get older, you certainly experience more of it, you know. So we've been given a heads up. So the nature of the scripture that we're reading during Ramadan, and Ramadan in the scripture is not described as the month of fasting first. Ramadan in scripture in the Holy Quran is described as the month of the Quran, the month that it was revealed to human beings through the Prophet Muhammad. And there's so much there that we need to recall. And lastly, the focus is on the Word of God helping us to change our behavior. But we're the common denominator. The Word won't change us if I'm not open to using the Word to change me for the better. And I'll stop there.
Yes, there's so much you put on the table, Michael. Appreciate it very much. The month of the Quran. So let's take a break here, and we are celebrating and commemorating that Allah sent guidance to the human family, and you know, and the beauty of the Quran, and we'll maybe talk about that just a brief minute when we get back, is that it was sent for the people, all people, humanity. We are the ones who received it and are blessed to embrace it. But this religion, it's the human being's heritage. It's the human family's heritage. It's our legacy. It's our right. Allah has revealed this religion as a gift for the human family. And alhamdulillah, we are blessed to be the ones that embrace it. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected, and this program is preparing to make it in the land of plenty. We'll be right back.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. It supports a healthy immune system.
For more than 30 years, Amana Mutual Funds have provided halal investment vehicles serving the unique needs of the Muslim community.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the community-wide serial conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thanks, Michael, for that. You know, as we were listening to the public service PSAs, public service announcements, I was reflecting on the concept in Islam. As we were going to the commercial, I mentioned that Allah revealed the Quran for the human family. And you know, and I was listening to Muhammad saying we support the 50-year human family plan. And you know, we've been listening to this concept of humanity is everybody's business, right? And so we are a human family, and Allah has revealed scripture to guide us, you know, in the verses of the Quran where that's mentioned. Allah says that he has revealed the Quran in this month, and we spend each day reading a 30th of the Quran. By the way, from 7:30 till 9, approximately 9 a.m. each morning, there's 1/30th of the Quran is being played on AM 360 in the mornings in English and in Arabic, the original Arabic text, and then the English translation and English translation of the Arabic text is being played for those of you who would like to listen and hear the Quran and enjoy it. But we are encouraged to try to read the entire Quran during this month. And it's being done in masajid all around the country, and also in our homes. We are listening to the Quran and reading the Quran. Sometimes I see brothers reading it on their phones in the masjid. You know, it's just a month of the Quran. It's, as Michael mentioned, it's the month of the Quran. It's that because the Quran was sent to guide us, sent for the guidance of humanity, for all humanity. And we invite our audience to get a copy of the Quran. It's been translated into many languages, and join us this month. Just explore it. I was listening to a talk of a person's. It was a lady. She said she was reading the Quran. She got the Quran, and she was gonna read it to find the errors in it and wrong in it, and prove that it wasn't a book to of guidance. And I'm paraphrasing that language. I'm using that term, guidance. And she was captivated by it, and she wound up becoming a Muslim. So the Quran made me a Muslim, because I saw, as I was reading it, I saw what my parents were trying to teach me in Christianity, and especially my grandmother. They were great Christian persons, and they fast, they prayed, they taught us the scripture, the value of scripture, and taught us the value of work, the value of being truthful and honest, and et cetera, et cetera. And they tried to pass that legacy on to us. But, you know, what really captivated me when I started studying Islam was that Islam had in it the practical aspect of how to get you home, how to get you to that better human person. And this month of fasting is one of the things we highlight in today, along with Tawheed, the oneness of the creative, powerful concept. When you clear your mind and to the idea that there are many gods, Greek mythology and all of this stuff, and you could just say there's one creator, one Lord, and one humanity, you already done conquered a lot of terrain. Now you're focused. You can move on. Whatever comes into your sphere of influence, a sphere of life going to be looked at through a much more positive picture, a positive view. You're not you don't have a confused medley of ideas working against your own best intelligence. One Lord, one Creator, that's not creation, not a part of creation, not like creation. Now you got a concept that you can look at and realize that you are a created being, you know, not something that has evolved from an ape or a monkey. And then now you got one of the greatest intellects on the planet or in the world of animated objects and creation. You have such an intelligence now that has evolved from a primitive state to a more eloquent state. And it is, but it's true that the human being is an evolved creation, and we are much more intelligent. Well, and that's questionable too. Today, with technology and whatnot to help us, we can look like we can achieve a little greater things than our ancestors did. But when you go back in history, look at all those accomplishments. You know, they pile up quite a bit of material too. Quite a bit of, you know, the Quran says, talks about the creation as just piling up dirt, right? Piling up buildings. These buildings that we see, great edifices and whatnot, it's just piling up dirt. Yes. So we've had a history of that. So let's circle back to you, Professor, and share some thoughts with us on this topic. I don't want to get too far off.
I thought you were going to ask me about piling up dirt, but I'll
of course, that's why I set that
point.
Table. let me give it to you. Let's pile it. Let me change that language from dirt to soil.
Soil, there you go. Because soil has properties. Now, when you mention about the lady who tried to dissuade or tried to find any mistakes in the Quran, she realized that the Quran and Prophet Muhammad, the mission was to lead mankind out of the darkness of ignorance, into the light. Light, of course, is knowledge, and the idea of darkness means that you don't know the solution. You know, when you can't figure out the problem, the mathematical problem, you're in the dark. Okay, so now you have this Quran, and now you're trying to find a flaw in the Quran so that you can elevate yourself in terms of popularity. But what you found out was that you were in darkness, and the Quran that you were studying revealed things that your curiosity had no solutions to, and the solution was found in the Quran.
Yes,
so
yes,
here you have a person like that, and then, you know, remember we say light was like fire. And you know,
yes,
fire, you get warmth, and you get light.
Yes.
And you know, and because scientists, the reason why they become scientists is because of their curiosity.
Mm.
You know, they say curiosity killed the cat, but
yes.
But the knowledge enlivened, brought him back to life, was the knowledge. So here you have this lady who was searching to find fault, and what happens was she found fault in her own self, the way she has lived her life, and it was because
when she approached
of
the
Quran
looking for fault, she was in error.
Exactly.
Yes.
And see what happens was that maybe she didn't really realize that the light of the Quran brings warmth to your mind and brings an ease to your life and your soul. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And that,
you know,
and
Professor,
so
if I may interrupt.
The only thing you can say is that, okay.
It create a question for you and then give you the answer. It gives you a question you never thought of before.
Exactly.
And then gives you the answer to that question. It creates the question and gives you the answer.
Uh-huh.
And when you're calling yourself searching to find fault, it asks you questions that you never thought of and then gives you the answer. And Allah says in it that he has covered every possible thing. And then invites you to send yourself out into the creation. Go out there and examine the creation. And he says your vision will come back tired and worn out. You'll just be worn out trying to find faults and flaws in Allah's creation.
And see, that's why, you know, the greater, I think, the most advent believer should be the scientist. Because the scientist, first of all, had to come up with a curiosity about what he observed in the creation through his five senses. Then once he observed that, then he had to go through a process called the scientific investigation, okay? And then that he was what it is. He's looking for al-haq, universal truth.
True.
And
yeah.
that's why he can develop from al-haq, universal jalhaq. When he finds the jalhaq in the creation, he harnesses it, and he makes technology from it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have technology unless you have science. You can't have science unless you are curious and examine the creation that God put out for you to find him. Huh? And when you see the great works of the creation, you say to yourself, oh, this could not have been made with many gods. It has to be one universal, haphazardly.
Yes,
yes. And if it worked in Europe, if it worked in Arabia, if it worked in China, if it worked in South America, it's a universal truth that can be applied anywhere in this creation or beyond. This earth or beyond in the creation, you see. So that lady she didn't know she was on the correct path.
Allah guided her. Allah guided her.
Exactly.
Yes. And no one gets
and
to
this.
Is
the,
yes.
Exactly.
No one gets
this
to this life except
Ramadan.
Allah guides them to it.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's why we pray. We
what,
pray that everyone will
exactly.
have that opportunity. Yes.
And the more you practice this religion, the more light comes to you so that you can find solutions for your problems, for your personal problems. And then on top of that, you're benefiting. Allah gives you credits. When you reach the destiny or the end, which you everybody's always thinking about, what happens when I die, it tells you exactly what the outcome of your effort, of your life, what is the outcome that you want to have, the best outcome. Let me put it that way. You want the best outcome for your life at the end. So that's the beauty of this Ramadan, the beauty of Quran, the month of the Quran, and the life pattern and practice of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, and those who follow him in history. You saw what Saladin did with Richard the Lionheart. Saladin was a great leader of the Muslims during the war, during the Crusades. And they found out that King Richard the Lionheart got injured or wounded, and they needed to find a physician. Saladin heard about it, disguised himself, went into the enemy's camp, and administered to the king, who was his adversary, as a Muslim. And then he came back after he administered his medical technique on him and got him back into shape. He left the camp and went back to his camp and continued the battle. So if people in Christianity could only read the Quran and see how Muhammad the Prophet is really the leader of modern man and modern science. He's the leader. And not only is the leader of modern science and modern technology, he is also, and he shows in the Quran that Allah says that any who believe in God and work righteous good deeds, those who believe in one God and work righteous good deeds, their reward is with their Lord, whether you're a Christian, Jew, Sabian, or all who believe in one God, work righteous good deeds, their reward is with their Lord. They should not fear or grieve.
Yeah.
So where is the conflict with Muslims and Christians? If the overriding evaluation is that you believe one in one God, you work righteous good deeds, practice in sincerity, and your reward with your Lord. So when we look at people who came out of our families that stuck with their deen, their fitra, their original nature, they stuck with it, and they did not deviate from it, even though we were under all this pressure, all of this behavior. We stuck with the fitra, and that is what will put us back into heaven.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Professor. Appreciate it. Michael, I'm going to circle back to you. Please share with us some thoughts you may have. Returning to the fitra.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I want to let the audience know that, we do welcome your comments, but the nature and
question.
Structure of the
yes.
Nature and structure, we can't, we don't want to allow one individual to speak for 5 or 10 minutes. We have a sister that's on the line. She's gone in and out. I'm going to bring her back in. 401. State your name and where you're from. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island. I'd like to what is the reason what is the reason why we as Muslims, from different stages to stage, we go from God, then to Allah, then back to God again, and you keep talking, talk about the mythology. Well, G-O-D, God, is a pagan God. And Arab Christians, they even use the name Allah. Illah Allah means the one, only one. But G-O-D does not mean one God. It means many gods. It was many mythological G-O-D. And even in our papers, we even had put G-dash, then D, because backwards God spells dog. So now we're going from that back to using God, maybe to please society, so we'll know who we're talking about. But in reality, we need to make up our mind what we're going to mean, what we're trying to say by when we say, oh, Almighty God, or we'll say, Almighty Allah, what you might say, God. But does God mean the one God? How many gods does it mean? Because some people believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and those are like mythical gods. So what do we really want to use? What are we supposed to use? Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Angela, wait a minute. Hold on. It's a matter of communication. It's a matter of communication. If we're students of Imam Muhammad, and we look at how he came into leadership, and the language that he used, and the emphasis that he put on paying attention to language, that words make us, you know, and we're in an English-speaking society, and people are familiar with God, but he gave us, he took the O out of God, like the Jewish community has a problem with G-O-D, and he told us that, you know, we are sensitive like the Jewish community in terms of spelling God backwards, D-O-D backwards, like you said, is D-O-G, dog. And that's not a befitting kind of a representation of the creator of all the world. So you have G-D, you know, being aware that other people feel the way that we do in terms of, but it's a matter of communication. You know, God, when we say God, we're saying the creator of all the worlds, most of us. And you're right. There are people, when they say God, they're talking about something else. And also, lastly, and I think you mentioned it, but you didn't say it all the way, Arab-speaking people who are of an Arabic tongue, when they say God, they say Allah in the Arabic language, because Allah means the God. And I'll stop there. But I thank you for raising that issue.
Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. You know,
we have another call.
Yes, you know, we have language. We have language issues. And we try to be more clear in our definitions when we are defining the creator. When we talk about Tawheed, we are talking about the one and only, the creator of the universe and everything we know of. So we don't want to get technical, that technical in the language, because once you say Allah, then we have to explain that concept, which you did well, Michael. We appreciate that. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, are you on mute?
Assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Michael Hanin, and to Imam Michael Hanin, and to Imam Ghalesi Umar, and to your returning guest, Professor Rabbani, and of course to the AM360 family, to all, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Sister Dipreeta Hadid, is that Sister Dipreeta?
Yes, sir. This is the
welcome.
I've been calling from Flint, Michigan. And just a quick comment on, you know, when we're speaking of the Muslims, you know, I had, you know, the Jehovah Witness, you know, how they come down to your door and they want to conversate with you, you know. And so one day they came to my door, and I said to them, I said, you know, I said, oftentimes when you come, I tell you all, no, that's okay, I don't have time or that. I said, but for some reason today, you know, I'm like, okay, so let's come in. I said, because I'm Muslim, you're Christian, come on in and see what we, you know, I'll see what you're talking about, and I share what I'm talking about. So I said, because my not really want to get into discussion with you all, I said, because you believe in the Trinity. I say, and as Muslims, we don't do that, you know, because there's one God, and Jesus is not God. So she said to me, she said, no. She said, we don't believe in Jesus being God. She said, we believe in God in heaven that Jesus spoke of. And I'm like, but what about the Trinity? I thought that was what expressed you all as being Christians, the fact that you believed in the Trinity. And she said, no. And we got to talking, and a lot of the scriptures she was, you know, reading from was like in reference to God being God and not Jesus. And I'm like, well, why? I'm thinking to myself, well, like, why don't all of you just adopt this same understanding rather than the Trinity? You know, but I was shocked to find out that all of them do not believe, like you were saying just earlier, say those who believe in the one God, whether he's a Christian, Jew, they would, or Sabian, they would be considered Muslim, because Muslim is what? One who submits to the one God. You know, so alhamdulillah.
Yeah, he was saying they would have their reward with their Lord. You know, right. And Allah talks about it, that it's a issue for him to decide, that when you go before your Lord, you can't convince people to always see things your way, a certain way. But, you know, our Creator, they're going to be confronted. They have to bring what they received from their own intellect and practices to the judgment. You know, we was reading from Surah 10, and it says, "Feme yukedibu kabadu bidin." So after this, what are you gonna lie about this deen? You're gonna lie about it. What lie can you tell about the deen after Allah has made these things clear to you? Isn't Allah the wisest of judges? You know, yeah. So we can't convince these people everything and give them just what they want to hear. But Allah can sort it out, you know. So we leave it up to our Creator to judge these things, and we do our best with what we have. Thank you,
yes,
Sister Preeta.
Yes, sir. And one last thing, and very quickly here. You know, like when we open the Quran, and it's got the G-O-D. I'm wondering, do you think, or what are your thoughts on the fact that eventually we will have the Quran as a, you know, as a reprint, I guess. I don't know. I'm just thinking. Because even though we're using that terminology of G-D or G-D, and then we refer people to go to the Quran and read, and then they see in the G-O-D, then, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
Let me say this about that, Sister Preeta. There are some revised editions of the Quran, the 9th and 10th edition, where it's been revised, and then they're using Allah as the terminology in there. But that has to be defined in the beginning of the Quran, in the I'm trying to remember the right word for that, when it starts to talk about terminologies and stuff like
that.
Has to be explained, that this is what Allah means, you know, because that has to be defined. You can't just start using terminologies without going into explanation of the meanings, right? So, yes, we try to use language sometime in this brief program we're doing, because we own certain topics, and we don't have a lot of time to divert into different topics. But, you know, periodically we may do a topic on the meaning of Allah and its proper use as for the Creator. You know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that to him belongs the most beautiful names, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And I know you are very prevalent to what I'm saying, because on your program you do these beautiful names of Allah. So tell us about your program and the time, and we'll thank you for your chiming in and et cetera.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir, you can join me, and I appreciate you to join us on every Saturday evening from 5 o'clock to p.m., 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock normally p.m. Eastern Time, right here on AM 360. However, during the month of Ramadan, we're only going to be on from 5 o'clock p.m.
Eastern to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern right here on AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And you can reach us at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. And that's this afternoon at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you so kindly, Brother Imam, and to your return guest, and your Imam Michael. I mean, I'm going to lie.
Thank you. Alaykum yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Priest. Ramadan Mubarak. So, Michael, how much time we got? So
we've got about a little less than 25 minutes. I was supposed to get a heads up in terms of going overtime, but I think we may be able to go overtime. But we've got about 24, 23 minutes, and we've got several people, including a recall, in the switchboard, and we want to ask those who have already spoken to press 1 to go out of the queue.
Yes, and we're going to be time conscious, so because I do want to spend a little time on this on the fitra, to return to the fitra, and to make the connections. So go ahead, Michael, bring our callers in, please.
All right, 773, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from. Are you on mute? 773. Open your mic up. You're on the air. 773-449. Go ahead. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. 718. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. 718. Just a minute. Let me get this mic open. And there we go. 718, state your name and where you calling from.
Haja Lala.
Welcome.
Georgia, New York. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Mubarak, Paul.
Ramadan Mubarak, welcome.
Ramadan
yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for taking my call. Because I was about to hang up, but thank you for taking my call. I have to agree with you all when you said G-O-D. You know, when you spell it backwards, that's what it spelled. What I do, I omit it in my Quran, and I just put Allah. I don't use he.
Yeah.
I don't use him.
Yeah.
I put Allah in place of those.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
When
thank
I'm reading
you.
The Quran, that's how I read it.
You are a free thinker the same way.
And I do the same. I feel that same way about gentrifying the creator and all of that. And not only do I not look at it as that, I try to look at it as the creator. You know, when I want to use language, I use that terminology. And I do that because Allah introduced himself as the creator before he said he was Allah in our Quranic history. You know, he introduced himself first as the creator, then your guardian, Rob, the creator, Kulite, of everything. So, yes, we can use language, you know, and the language is not so important as the essence of what you're talking about. You know, I think we could always get technical and find ways to manipulate language. But, you know, the essence, when we start saying Allah is one, the creator is one, we use that kind of language. That's positive, and that's everybody can relate to that, there's one creator and we are a creation. Separating the creator from creation is the important thing.
Yes, sir.
So thank you so much. We tried to get to you earlier, but I think we missed you because you were on earlier in the call log. We did try to get to you. I'm glad we got you, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you. Alaykum as-salam. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, 773, we're going to try you again. 773-449.
That's
state your name and where you're
from. Alaykum as-salam.
I don't know what happened. Sister Mir Muhammad Shahi, I don't know what happened. I was in the queue and I had pressed once. I don't know. I had to hang up and come back in, but I'll praise you.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying.
Welcome, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, and thank you so much. I just want to say that I'm enjoying the show and that Allah judges by intentions. No matter what religion we are, it's our sincerity. It's our sincerity. And as we go and we grow, if Allah wants us to come to the light of understanding of Islam and whatever it is and what we are traveling our journey through, he judges by intentions. So
yes,
when we relate to people, we want to know that they are being true to whatever religion that they say that they belongs to. That's how I like to relate to people in their truth and their sincerity and trying to live the best life. And then that's where our growth comes in at. So I just wanted to say that.
That return to the fitra, that original pattern. That's Allah's intent for us, that we have a good life, and the possibilities for that are in His creation, and that's what we are striving for during this month, to follow these disciplines to get us to that, to the position to practice that, those the best life.
We don't want to be one to judge people and we're not living by the criteria ourselves, And then if we're living in our character, people are going to see that. They're going to see that. And they're going to question, if you say you have the right religion or whatever it be in life, and you're not exemplified in that character, it becomes questionable. So we want to always set the best example in whatever we do. So thank you very much. A blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ramadan Mubarak, to you as well. Thank you.
Michael, any other calls? Yes, sir. We've got a recall. 736, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, Brother Muhammad, very brief because we want to sum up things here.
Right, I am. I just want another to remember that, ever since Prophet Isa came and explained to all the governments on the earth at that time, by Allah's permission, how far astray they had went. So we know that this common sense will tell us that many governments since then, and the governments that we're dealing with now in our reality today, are very familiar with the language of the Quran, even our founding fathers of the Constitution of the United States of America. Someone helped those who read the Quran and put it in the, what they taught them, the Arabic, taught them the language, and then they worked through a medium so that they could speak in what we call the English language, the best of their definition, which we know that we've expanded to creator now. We use the word creator, very, very, very important. And like the two brothers who were talking during the night of power when the Prophet Muhammad said was bringing that revelation to help us go forward in making it on this job as Khalifa on this earth and in the land of plenty down here that we are supposed to protect and balance out, while it is tested by the shaitan to prove that he thinks he can run it better, et cetera, et cetera. So many people are aware of the language, and we need to remember that sometimes so that we don't get bogged down on those who might be intentionally playing dumb, as we say, so that they can continue to hold our attention. That's why Imam Muhammad, in closing, that's why he made it clear also, he said, don't waste your time once you have delivered the message in a way that you know that person is comprehending it because you speak the same language with them. And you use the best of their language to explain them that there's only one God, et cetera, et cetera. He said, move right along with the next part, inshallah, if they want to hear it. I just want to say that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And we definitely don't want to be technical because we have a great message here. We have a great religion. We want to share it. We want to invite people to experience it. So we don't want to get bogged down with religious dialogue or dogma, I'm going to call it that. And we want to just move forward. So the fitra, there are some terms I wanted to look at, iftar and fitra. And we have zakatul fitra at the end of Ramadan where each family has the head of the house has to pay, provide a meal, or equivalency of a meal for each member of their family that's in their charge, right, in the home, and the meal of a poor person, if they are able to do so, if they have any resources where there's a way to provide a meal, they are supposed to provide the equivalency of a meal for a poor person. And that's Zakat al-Fitr. And we have Eid al-Fitr. You know, then, you know, it's translated returning happiness. But the Eid is actually a return, and the Fitr is the original pattern. So what we are celebrating at the end of Ramadan is that we hopefully, if we all of our sins are forgiven, we are now returning back to that original pattern that God intended for us. You know, there are so much benefits in this month. Forgiveness of sin, closeness to your Creator. You know, in the beginning, in the earlier part, we read the last khutbah of the month of Shaban, the Friday of Shaban, that the Prophet invited the believers to understand the importance of this month. He said, "You are invited to be the guest of Allah. This is a month where we spend time concentrating on our Creator, and we are invited to be His guests, to get in, to read His scripture, recite His book, to pray more prayers, to involve in more worship, to be more charitable, to feed the poor and the hungry. We are encouraged to provide a meal for fasting people." One such a powerful sin, the Prophet said, anyone who provide a meal for a fasting person during this month, his sins will be forgiven. Sins will be forgiven. And one of the companions said, "Oh, Prophet, many of us can't provide a meal or feed the poor. We're not able to do so." He said, "Even if you give a drink of water, the concept of charity, said that reward is open to one who even gives a fasting person a drink of water. The concept of sharing, the concept of being charitable, the concept of being concerned for others, all of those things earn us forgiveness of sin. Our sins are forgiven." And just to mention this, it's this in the ninth month. You know, that's when we say the mother gives birth to the child. There's a concept being looked at in these. This being the ninth month, where it's a rejuvenation, a rebirth, opportunity for life to be regenerated. Such a powerful concept. And, you know, there are many things in our religion like that. The Hajj has that significance of the ninth day of Hajj being Arafat. So where we get on, where we, and you know, the Prophet said, if you miss the Arafat, you miss the Hajj. You miss the Hajj. That the essence of our religion is to be in unity, to be concerned for human beings and obedience to our Creator. Those things are very powerful concepts that we have. And this month offers us the opportunity to practice all of those things and more. So, Professor, sum up for us, if you would.
Yeah, just, you had mentioned that the breaking of the fast and how if you Allah will reward those who will help and feed the believer who is breaking his fast by forgiveness of all his past sins, and
yes.
There are other things. Who abstains from harming others will be spared the wrath of God, Allah, Almighty Allah. when he meets them. And then there are other benefits. These are the benefits of the practices that we should incorporate into our everyday life. And
right.
This tells me this, that when people, you know, they don't read, most people don't read the Quran. They read us. They read Muslims on your behavior and your way of, and everything you do, they see you, and they're
yes.
reading. So if you, you incorporate the practices of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and what he has, and his mission was to illuminate. You illuminate your life, they'll see that in your life, your practice, that will have a great, great impact, or even a more greater impact than you trying to persuade them that God is the G with the apostrophe D, and or originator. They will see it in you, and that's what brought many Muslims especially from Indonesia. The way they propagated Islam was in their practices and in their businesses, and they practiced a certain way, and they believed a certain way, and that impacted the business people in Indonesia. Now Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. So
yeah.
You see how if we just stick to what Allah has said, and I just wanted to make one correction. I said, any who believe in God and work righteous and good deeds, I meant to say, any who believe in one God and practice and practice regular prayer, their reward is with the Lord that they should not grieve. So, taqwa, and good deeds, and these are the things that are going to attract attention to the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Professor. So, Michael, go ahead, share some thoughts with us. I tried to cram a lot into that fitra, and I know there's more to be shared. So,
yes, sir. This is an ongoing conversation, dialogue. I've got a message from Sister Martha that the Cultural Insight Program will be airing at 11 o'clock. So we've got about
okay.
5 minutes. And with that in mind, I just want to say that, what he said.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so that's very important. And, I wanted us to just get a little glimpse of how this religion has been structured with the principles designed to bring the best results for human development, for developing the life. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave us different practices that if we observe them, brings us close very, very methodically to a disciplined life, eating with the right hand, entering the door with the right feet, exiting with the left, developing consciousness is so important. And that's the difference. If you wanted to make a comparison, a religious comparison, the religion of Islam has disciplines that actually get you home, actually get you to the better potential, your better potential that Allah has put in every individual. It's in the pattern, but it has to be worked. It can't be left there to develop without particular attention being paid to it. So with that being said, we want to thank our listeners. And definitely invite you back next week. You know, we've been trying to explore the benefits of Ramadan, of fasting this month, and to share with you and our listeners who may be thinking about fasting, the benefit of doing that. So, Michael, we're going to turn it back to you, and you're watching the clock, so take some minutes to share with us and then close us out with a dua, if you would.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And Ramadan Mubarak to one and all. The ongoing discussion is a language environment that we have accepted responsibility for, those of you who are listening, as well as the host sharing and those among the listening audience that have shared. It's a language environment. 360.org is a language environment. Community-wide Shura conference is a language environment. Imam Muhammad made us aware of that, and he gave an example that many of us are aware of in the Nation of Islam. He said it was a language environment. And I'm mindful as a student that Imam Muhammad came out of that language environment, and where did he get the Quran from? His daddy, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, provided a teacher to teach the Quran. He, Imam Don al-Karim, his wife, the younger brother, may Allah forgive him his sins, grant him paradise, younger brother Akbar, and others, learned the sacred Quran from a teacher that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad provided. Many of us were not aware of that. But this leadership Imam Wahdeen Muhammad represents to us, and that his students, I'm going to say represent, his students represent this leadership. And there's so much more to say, and we will say it in coming weeks, inshallah. And I'll stop there.
Yeah. Yes. So thank you all. So, Michael, please close us out. Peace and blessings to everyone, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Oh, Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves. Not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Ameen. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Excellent dua for Ramadan. Thanks in all times. Peace and blessings, everyone. Salaam alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.